Good morning, everybody. In the opening pasuk of Parshas Bishalach, the Torah says, "Vayihi Bishalach Paro Esoham," and it was when Paro sent out the nation of the Jewish people. And the Gemara tells us that whenever a pasuk is introduced with the word "Vayihi," it always connotes a sense of suffering and disappointment. So the Medrash there by Paro describes the deep disappointment that Paro had with the following mashal. There was once a businessman who worked hard to make his money, and he tried to meet with people and sell his merchandise, and he traveled to foreign countries to create new business ventures for himself. One fine day, he chances upon a satchel, which, unbeknownst to him, contains diamonds, rubies, sapphires, and all sorts of very expensive jewelry. Running to a meeting with no time to sift through what he had found, he chances upon a homeless stranger and asks him, "Would you like to take this box I have found? I found it on the street. I'm running to a business meeting, I'm very late, and I simply don't have time to deal with it right now. If you would like it, it is yours." So the homeless man has nothing to lose. He takes it, opens it up, and begins to uncover large quantities of precious jewels inside. Completely shocked, he begins by separating the diamonds into small, medium, and large stones. He then takes the sapphires and rubies and divides everything into separate piles, and he then travels into town, rents himself a storefront, and sets up a rare jewelry shop to sell the merchandise that he now luckily had given to him. A few days go by, and the original businessman chances upon the homeless shop, and he very quickly understands that the box he had given up just a few days earlier was a grave mistake. Had he kept it for himself, he could have retired for life, and he so flippantly gave up a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Upon this realization, he immediately tore his clothing and let out a cry because of the squandered opportunity that he allowed himself to have missed out upon. The Medrash then goes on to compare Paro to the businessman who gave away the diamonds and jewels. The diamonds were Klal Yisrael that Paro had in his own hands. They were like that box that was filled with precious and rare jewels. And when Paro saw the Jewish people leaving his land, he cried out and lamented the fact that he had given up such a hot commodity. On this, the pasuk says, "Vayihi bishalach paro es ha'am." Okay, so it sounds like a very simple mashal, but when one thinks about it a little more carefully, there's a major flaw in the analogy between the mashal and the nimshal, because the businessman gave up an opportunity that he could have held on to had he only paid attention. And that, in fact, is something to cry about. Whereas Paro did not have a choice. He was forced by all the Makos and by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to let the Jewish people go free. So what does the Medrash mean to bring out with a seemingly lopsided mashal that we're presented with? How can we compare Paro's situation to the unfortunate businessman who had a choice to keep the special thing that he had found? So some explain that upon seeing the entirety of the Jewish people and realizing what they were capable of accomplishing, Paro now thought back to himself, "I had such a talented group of people under my rulership, and look what I made them do. I could have done better for myself than to make them build cities and then destroy them the next day." Consider a person who hires a worker as a janitor in his office, not knowing that this worker is a genius or a brilliant scientist or musician, not knowing that this person has the capacity or the knowledge to cure cancer or create a flying car. And the owner wastes this worker's talents by having him clean up the floors of the office, until suddenly he discovers that he could have booked this worker in concert halls throughout the world. He could have made a fortune off of this worker. Imagine the disappointment that he would feel when he finally comes to this realization. And Paro felt the very same way. He realized what a waste of talent it was having the Jewish people all of those years and making them do things that were so unproductive. What a squandered opportunity. And there are so many incredible opportunities that we all have in life. Some of them we might be granted another chance to take advantage of, and many others are just once in a lifetime. They're that type of nature, ones that will never repeat themselves again. And those are the ones we want to make sure we never turn back at and say, "Vayihi." We never want to find ourselves lamenting and crying over those wasted opportunities. The Gemara in Gittin describes the unfortunate period of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. This was a period in history in which not only was there a siege around Yerushalayim, but there was also a civil war among the different groups of Jews as well. And the great leader at the time was Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai, and he was trying his best to negotiate and come up with the most effective strategies for the Jewish community's survival. So the Gemara goes into a detailed account of Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai sneaking out of Yerushalayim until finally he reaches the palace of the emperor and is granted any three requests or wishes that he would ask for. Here is his chance. Here is the leader of Klal Yisrael who has finally secured a meeting with the enemy, and they have given him a chance to speak. He has an opportunity to save the entire Jewish people. Everything is in his hands. And he makes three requests, which the Gemara says fell very short of what he should have asked for. He made an incredible mistake, and the Gemara says that he blew an opportunity that was placed right into his own hands. If this could happen to the great Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, conceivably it could happen to any of us as well, and we need to be very cognizant of this at all times. But I want to turn our attention to our parsha as well. Parshas Achrei Mos, in which the Torah delineates the Avodah on Yom Kippur, which was done obviously by the Kohen Gadol. Now, there are many different karbanos on Yom Kippur and many changes of clothing, many times going in and out of the mikvah and a whole week of preparation leading up to this incredibly sanctified day. Without a doubt, the highlight of the day was when the Kohen Gadol, the holiest man in the nation, entered the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the holiest place on earth, on the holiest day of the year, Yom Kippur. And there was a sense of a very tense atmosphere as the people watched him entering the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Who knew if he was worthy enough to come out alive? And who knew if he would actually survive this encounter? And it is for this reason that the Kohen Gadol was instructed to keep his prayers and his tefillos very confined and very limited. He knew everyone was waiting to see his face, assuring them of absolute forgiveness. He had very little time to offer tefillos, although he found himself in the holiest place at the most opportune time. So let's study together this short tefillah. It's only three lines, and let's look carefully what the Kohen Gadol chooses to ask for on this very special opportunity that he's given on Yom Kippur in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And I'll first say it in Hebrew. Yehi ratzon milfanecha Hashem Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu. Shatehe shana zu haba aleinu va'al kol amcha beis Yisrael b'chol makom shehem. That this year should be for all of Klal Yisrael wherever they might be living. Am shechuna gshuma ba'al yikanis lefanecha tefilas ovrei drachim le'inyan hageshem b'shah sha'olam tzrichim lo. I'll translate in a minute. V'shelo yitztarchu amcha beis Yisrael b'parnasa ze lo ze v'lo la'am acher. Shana shalotapil isha pri bitna, vishayidnu atse hasada es tenuvasam, veloya idu avid shiltan midibes Yehuda. Basically paraphrased, may this year be a year of prosperity, one in which we won't really need to rely on other nations for our sustenance. May it be your will that the prayers of the travelers and the commuters should not be answered. May no woman know of unfortunate miscarriages. May the fields give off their produce in proper proportions, and may the kingship of David HaMelech continue to rule over the nation for many years to come. Sounds like a very moving tefillah, and one which focuses primarily on communal issues, issues of sovereignty, of unemployment rates, and of overall continuity of Klal Yisrael. But when there's one line in this tefillah which seems completely out of place, and it almost seems like Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's story all over again, like a squandered opportunity. Here the Kohen Gadol has the chance to pray for the cure for cancer or for any other communal illness. Here he is given a chance to beseech the Ribbono Shel Olam for real problems facing the community. Yet the Kohen Gadol, so to speak, wastes his precious time and his precious tefillah, which is only three lines, and asks that the Ribbono Shel Olam ignore the prayers of the travelers? Is it really that big of an issue that it deserves a special line in his tefillos on Yom Kippur in the Kodesh HaKadoshim? These commuters were the ones traveling home from a long day at work. Suddenly on their way home, they got caught in a downpour, and their horses could no longer travel. They would be stuck on the muddy paths in the cold and the rain, and they would cry out to the Ribbono Shel Olam that he stop the rain and spare them of this uncomfortable trip. Okay, so we certainly sympathize with their traveling conditions and we understand what it is that bothers them. But what these travelers don't realize is that what they want in the here and now, in their predicament, in their personal predicament, is something that's hurtful to the farmers who very much need the rain at this time. If the Ribbono Shel Olam listens to them and stops the rain so that they can continue to travel home peacefully, the farmers will not have produce for that year. So therefore the Kohen Gadol davens that the Ribbono Shel Olam ignore the prayers of these commuters and these travelers. Sounds interesting, but when one thinks about the overall communal needs of an entire Jewish people, of an entire Klal Yisrael, when one considers the amount of pain and suffering that so many families are living through, as we all know and we all have seen, is this really on the top of the list of priorities to daven for? How can this compare to the other tefillos that were offered for the Malchus Beis David, for the unemployment rates, for the lack of any miscarriages? How is this to be understood at all? And I would like to share with you an insight I heard from Rav Elisha Horowitz. You see, sometimes we have our minds set on an idea. We think something is novel, we're convinced that it is the only way to go, and we'll do anything to make sure that this is accomplished, even though it's at the expense of so many other things. Take, for example, and this is a very silly and simple example, but we've all seen it. A father who decides that he needs to be mechanech his 4-year-old son in the mitzvah of tefillah b'tzibur on Shabbos morning. So he brings his son to shul, and the kid is running up and down the aisles, giggling and eating his snacks and getting crumbs all over the shul, pushing the chairs in and out, making noise, and closing all the siddurim. He's disturbing everybody. But this father has decided that it is what needs to be done. He needs to teach his son how to sit in shul. No matter how disruptive, no matter how little it makes sense, this is what he decides to do, and this is what he actually does. And we have all experienced that. What an ill-considered and imprudent decision that is made on the part of this father. And in reality, what this father really lacks is a bigger perspective. He doesn't see the whole picture because he's only focusing on the needs of his own child without considering the entire situation and the fallout that might come along with it. The story is told of a king who asked 6 blind men to discern what an elephant might look like by feeling the different parts of its body. The blind man who felt its leg concluded that the elephant was like a pillar. The next blind man who felt its tail surmised that it was like a rope. The one who felt its trunk said that it was like a tree branch. The blind man who felt the ear said the elephant was like a flimsy fan. Feeling the elephant's body, the next blind man sagely replied that the elephant was like a wall. And last, the blind man who felt the elephant's tusk said it was like a solid plastic pipe. And the king acknowledged that in fact they were all right, but perhaps only partially so. And he then went on to explain to all 6 of them that each of the blind men had touched a different part of the elephant, but in truth, the elephant was the sum of all those parts put together. The king was able to see the bigger perspective, the bigger picture, but the blind men could not. While each of the blind men could only discern a small part of the big picture very accurately, they could not see how all the parts fit into a beautiful whole. As such, they did not arrive at an accurate description of the elephant. Only the king alone appreciated how the perspective of each blind man fit into the larger whole. And it is no surprise that a blind man cannot see the bigger picture, but it does go to show us the difference in perspective between small details and the bigger picture that all those details are meant to fit into. We too sometimes are blind to the bigger picture. At times, due to the lack of awareness or proper perspective taking on our part, or for many other reasons, but we could end up making grave mistakes that lead to horrible and unnecessary problems for ourselves. And this was the fundamental flaw with the prayers of the commuters and the travelers who got stuck in the rain. They were short-sighted, improvident, and imprudent. They did not take the entire nation into the equation. They neglected to appreciate that the best thing for the world economy and for themselves as well would be to have rain at that time. The Kohen Gadol's tefillah on Yom Kippur was not simply directed at the small group of uncomfortable travelers and commuters, but it was meant as a plea for communal clarity, that each and every one of us be granted that sixth sense to size up a situation in its entirety and make a decision that would be able to take the whole picture into account. This is something, in fact, that is no less significant than the tefillah that was offered for the unemployment rates, for the Malchus Beis David, or for the continuity of Klal Yisrael, because this is something that we as human beings are faced with each and every day. In no way is this a squandered opportunity on the part of the Kohen Gadol. To the contrary, this is the Kohen Gadol thinking deeply into the human condition and dealing very clearly with the challenge that we are faced with all the time. My father likes to tell over that Rav Soloveitchik used to describe the amount of tefillos that he offered that he shouldn't have to end up in the treif in Medina, America. He wanted nothing more than to stay in Europe, and he was frustrated at the time that his tefillos were not answered. Just imagine if they would have been. Imagine what America would have looked like without him. Imagine the thousands and thousands of families of Shomrei Shabbos and Shomrei Torah Mitzvahs on whatever level who would not be today had Rav Soloveitchik's tefillos been answered and had he stayed in Europe and perished in the Holocaust. Rav Soloveitchik himself admitted that he had offered a short-sighted tefillah, one that did not take the entire perspective into consideration. These are two very practical lessons we can learn from both Pesach and our Parsha as well. Number one, we must never allow ourselves to squander an opportunity because one never knows if it will be granted to him or her again. And secondly, when making decisions, we must make sure to take a step back and consider the entire picture and the whole perspective. We cannot allow ourselves to ignore the bigger picture because sometimes the bigger picture means the expense of our family, sometimes our shul, our school, and sometimes the bigger picture means our entire community as a whole. May this Chodesh HaGaula bring forth the embodiment of the tefillos of the Kohen Gadol with the reinstating of the Malchus Beis David and the Geula HaAsida with the Binyan Bayis HaShlishi B'mheira V'Yameinu. Amen ve'amen. I wish everyone a good Shabbos and a Chag Kosher V'Sameach.